Now we're holding on Kuf Beis Amud Beis, the second line from the bottom. The Mishnah had given us a couple of cases involving where a person made his neder for a mincha a certain way and then did it differently. So we had a case where a person said that I'm going to bring a minchas machvas, which we learned earlier in the Masechta, that a machvas is one kind of frying pan, and instead he brought it in a machheshes, which was a different kind. We talked about earlier in the Masechta what the difference between them is, covered versus uncovered, or shallow versus deep, whatever. So we said that it's a valid mincha, but he wasn't yotze. We had the case, we had where he says, I'm going to bring this flour in a machvas and does machheshes, or vice versa. That's possible, and he had a number of cases involving where he was going to bring one isoran or two esronis, and said that they were going to be in one kalim and then separated them into two kalim or vice versa. So we had a number of different cases in the Mishnah. We ended up saying that in some of those cases, at least where it is a valid mincha, Rav Shimon would even say that he's yotze his neder. So the Mishnah, so the Gemara continues. The Mishnah had said zulahavi b'machmas, that if the person had said, I'm going to bring this flour as a mincha fine in a machmas, and instead he brings it as a mincha fine in a machmas, then it would actually be possible. Because he said, it's one thing if he says, in other words, the same way as we have the difference between neder and nedava, where a person, the difference between when a person says, I obligate myself to bring an oila, and later on he takes a particular animal and designates it for the purpose, versus where he says to begin with, this animal is going to be an oila, where we know the first one's a neder, the second one's a nedava, and there's a difference as the nafkamina is what happens if something happens to the animal, and it can't be brought as a korban, is he chayav to bring another one? If it was a neder, yes. If it was a nedava, no. So the same way over here, he says this flour was going to be brought in a machmas. Instead, he brought it in a machashas. So it's possible because he specifically said it was going to be in a machmas, and he said whether he would have to bring another one, the pashto is not, because he only said this flour, and this flour is no longer available. Anyway, the point is, we don't say, for example, that because that even though he said he was going to bring in a machmas and put in a machashas, we don't say that maybe he should be able to take it out of the one and put it in the other. So the question is why? We learn in the Braisa that the klisharis was not mekadesh them. The fact that he brought it, in other words, when we say lahobi b'machmas, we don't mean he had already fried it as a minchas machmas. The pashtos, we mean that he brought it to the Beis Hamikdash in a machmas, in that kind of pan, but in fact he had made a neder to bring it in a machmas. So why can't we just take it out of the machmas, put it in a machmas, and have done with it? Fine. He doesn't bring it to the Smikdash exactly, but we're talking about a klisharis. What we mean is he brought his flour in his own keli, and then he had the kohenim put it in a machmas when really it should have been in a machmas. Why can't he just take it out of the machmas and put it in a machmas? The answer is Amar Abaye, what kid from Likrab, because the klisharis that it was in before the Kmitza didn't make it Kodesh to be actually offered as a korban, Aval Kidshim Lipossel, but it is Mekadesh to the extent that it becomes possel. So therefore, in other words, exactly that. He put it and prepared it in the wrong kind of keli. Now it's Kodesh enough to be able to become possel, but it's not Kodesh enough to be offered on a Mizbeach. And therefore the result is that it's a possel mincha. Vir Amar Abaye, and Abaye continues in this connection, loishanu, this that we're talking about, that if you said, I'm going to bring this flower to machlas and brought it in a machleshes, or vice versa, that would be possible. Elishak chovan b'shas neder. Only if he established it, he gave the name to it at the time of the neder. So he first made the neder, saying, this he started in a flower, I am going to bring in a machlas. Then he brought it to say in a machleshes, and was saying that it'll be possible. But if, let's say, he just made his neder stam, I'm going to bring a mincha. Later on, when he designated the flour for it, he said, now I'm going to fulfill my neder by bringing it in a machlas. And later on, he instead brings it in a machlas. Then we would not say it's pasul, because the pasuk says kasher in the darta. The Torah says you have to fulfill as you vowed. And we learn from that. The implication is only as you vowed when you first made the neder, so not as you did when you designated it. So in other words, the fact that you designated at the time later on that I'm going to bring this one as a machmas, that doesn't establish that it must be that way, that now it's irrevocable and you can't change your mind and do a machashis. So therefore it would be perfectly fine to change it to another, to the other kind of paving. There's an acronym talk about so why isn't it considered a separate nether of its own. Maybe, in other words, he made one nether, I'm going to bring him in, and now he made another nether, I'm going to bring it in a mahas. The question has an ish talks about that even if we do say that it's a separate nether, it's still, it's basically, he doesn't have the ability to create something that will affect his original nether. And in fact, the Rambam, when he brings this lahalacha, brings that in fact, even if he actually put in a table. So here we're talking about in the Gemara, he just said at the time of Afrasha, I'm going to put it in a mahas, for example. The Rambam discusses, it can even be that he actually put it in the mahas. And nevertheless, he can still change it and put it into the other table. Acharonim discussed whether in fact that's the case. So the Gemara says Itmar Nami. We have a similar discussion. Amar of Acha B'Chanina, Amar of Asi, Amar of Yechon. Roishanu Elish Kolin B'Shas Neder. This would only apply that we say it would be possible if it was switched to a different keli, only if at the time of the Neder he said this is going to be a Machmas. Avol B'Shas Afrosh Aloy. But if to begin with he made the Neder generically and later on said that I'm going to put him in a Machmas, and even maybe he actually put him in a Machmas, Loy, then it's not a problem because the Pasuk is Kasher Nedarta as you vowed, and we learn from that for Loy Kasher Ifrash. It's not a problem based on how you designated it later. So as long as if the original nether was generic, then you're able to switch it around later. Mishnah says, if a person says, I obligate myself to bring a mincha from barley. Now, the only two types of menachas that come from barley is the mincha soita and the mincha sa'omer. And the mincha sa'omer is not brought by an individual anyway, and the mincha soita can't be brought, the neder and the dava. You can't bring it voluntarily. So therefore, there's no voluntary mincha that he could bring that would be made out of barley. Yovi minachitin, then he has to actually bring, he does have to bring a mincha, but he has to bring it out of wheat flour. Similarly, kemach, if he says, I'm going to bring plain flour, yovi solas, that's no good. There's only one kind of mincha, again, there's only one kind of mincha, which is made from kemach, namely the mincha soita, and that's not even wheat flour. So if he says, I'm going to bring a mincha of kemach, then yovi solas, just bring the proper fine flour, which is what a mincha is supposed to be made out of. Similarly, v'loy shemen or v'loy levoina, if he says, I'm going to bring a mincha without oil and without levoina, and you only have, besides for the mincha soita, the only other kind that's without oil and levoina is a mincha schoita, and you can't bring that one voluntarily. So yovi shemen or levoina, that we say, that's no good. You have to fulfill your neder by doing a proper mincha involving oil and levoina. Chatzi isarim, what if he says I'm going to bring a half isarim, and there's no such thing, the minimum size of a mincha is full isarim. Yavi isarim shalom, so then we're going to require him to bring a full isarim. In each case, in other words, what it means is that, the local basin is going to be responsible for enforcing that and make sure that he actually does that. Or if he comes to this mikvah and tells them that he made this nether, then the basin shall coin him over there, will see to it that he does what he's supposed to do. Isoran and Metzah, what if he says, I'm going to bring a mincha of an Isoran and a half? Now, the menachas all come, except for the Chavite Kohen Gadol, which we learned before, you bring half an Isoran in the morning and half in the afternoon. Other than that, a mincha always consists of a whole number of esroinim. We're going to learn on Amud Beis that the maximum size of a single mincha is 60 esroin, but it can be 1, 2, 3, etc., but it can't be fractions. So if he says, I'm going to bring 1.5 esroin, yavi shnayim, then we round it up and we say he has to bring two esroinim. Reb Shimon Potter, Reb Shimon in all these cases says he's Potter, so he's not a kedera hamisnadrin, because he didn't make the neder in the way He didn't make the nedava in the way that nedavas are normally brought. In other words, there is no such thing as a voluntary mincha of barley. There is no such thing as a voluntary mincha of plain flour, etc. And therefore, Reb Shimon says we throw out the whole thing that he said, and he's not chayiv, and he's not chayiv in anything at all. So the Gemara starts off. Am I? Why in all the cases of the Mishnah, according to the Tanna Kamma, why should we say that he's chayiv to bring the proper kind of mincha, neder or pischa imehu, isn't this a neder that has a pesach right along with it? Meaning, in other words, so what happens if he's going to come to Beis Din and he's going to tell them, I made a neder to bring a mincha, so they're going to ask him the details, and he's going to tell them that I said I'm going to bring a mincha of barley, for example, and then And then, when he says, so now a person should know there's no such thing as a mincha of barley. So actually what it is neder pischlima. It means, in other words, that he's mischaret. As soon as he says mincha, as soon as he says, I obligated myself to bring a mincha, then immediately he's saying that, I would regret that I said that, and adding minas olim. So therefore, because he knows that there's no such thing as a mincha minas olim. But sometimes you might have a person says something, and then he realizes, I shouldn't have said that, so he adds extra words in order to in effect negate what he just said. So here, that's what he's doing. He says, Harelai Mincha, and then he catches himself immediately, Tofidei Dibru, and says, Minas Orim. So it should be considered a neder that automatically has a Pesach with it, and the neder should be bottled. So why not? I'm a chizki homani beis shamai. So the answer is chizki says because our Mishnah is a point of beis shamai. The Amri where beis shamai says tfois loshen rishon, we have to go according to the first thing that he said, meaning we can't focus when he has two things like this that are self-contradictory. Then we don't say that he says harei alai mincha. So right away he becomes chayiv in a proper mincha. If he adds minasodim, beis shamai would hold that does not change matters. It's not, as we learn in a Mishnah, in Nazir. A person says, Harini Nazir min ha-grogeris min ha-dveva. Suppose a person says, I'm going to be a Nazir from dried figs or from pressed figs. Now, there's no such thing, because a Nazir is also in grapes and grape products and wine and whatnot, as well as other things, cutting hair and becoming tumble and mess. There's no such thing as a Nazir involving figs. Now, Tosfos points out that there might be a reason, actually, there might be a different reason why the Shammai would say that Tosfos brings from Yerushalmi, that there were some places where they used where they considered the word grogeris a synonym of tirosh, which is one of the words in Tanakh for wine. So in that case, then he might be chayiv on those grounds alone. If you ask him, what do you mean by grogeris? And he says, I meant tirosh, I meant wine. Well, then of course he's a full nozer anyway. But here we're talking about even not. So he said that I'm going to be a nozer, and he actually meant the dried or pressed figs. So what happens? The shama, I'm a nozer. The shama says he's going to be an actual nozer because tfois loshen rishon. As soon as he said, hiring a nozer, then he becomes a nozer. The fact that he adds in the same breath, doesn't change things. Or Basilah, any nozer, and Basilah says, not nozer, there's no such thing as that type of nozer. So therefore, Chizkiah says that on Mishnah, in the same way, he says, and there's no such thing, therefore, the on Mishnah would work only according to Beis Shakti. Rabbi Yechanan says you can even say on Mishnah goes according to the Sillel, and of course we would prefer to do that because the halacha is like the Sillel over Beis Shammai. We don't want to have a Sam Mishnah that's not Alibah de Hilchasa. So fine. But the case is Ba'oimer, the case is later on, after he's made the neder, he says, Ilu Hoyisi Adesha in Nerdrin Tach, if I had known that you can't make a neder like that, if I had known, in other words, Rabbi Yechanan is saying, the guy genuinely thought there could be a mincha made out of barley. He might figure, for example, look, you have a mincha soita, which is made out of barley, you have a mincha soima that's made out of barley. Maybe the Torah allows a individual to bring a mincha of barley. But now he says that when they tell him, how can you do that? There's no such mincha. He says, if I had known, Ilu Hoyisi Adesha in Nerdrin Tach, if I had known that you can't make a neder like that, then I wouldn't have made a neder like that. I would have rather made it a proper neder out of wheat. And the same thing when he says kemach, he thinks it could be like mincha soita, and the oil and the voina, he thinks that it could be like the ones that don't, that the ones that, that by din, in fact, do not have oil and the voina. So in all those cases, you can say, in other words, that he actually thought that such a kind of mincha is valid, and therefore, so now it turns out that he actually did want to bring a proper mincha. So in other words, when Harini knows him in a grogris, then Basil is saying, we're not even going to bother asking him. There's no such thing as a grogris. I have nothing to do with a nazir, and therefore he's for sure not a nazir. You can't even say that if he said, but if I knew that that's not a nazir, but nevertheless, though, the fact is there doesn't exist. Grogris have nothing to do with nazirus. As opposed to over here, the fact is there are types of menachas that do conform with what he said. So therefore you could say where you ask him afterwards and he clarifies that I didn't know that this kind of mincha can be brought only under certain limited circumstances which don't apply over here, and therefore I actually meant to say a proper neder, and therefore only then does it become a proper neder, and now we'll tell him he has to bring wheat and not barley and with oil on the voina and not without it and so forth. Tosfos is a long Tosfos over here that begins on a previous Amud that points out a different rationale for what this Shammai is saying. There's a concept which the Gemara mentions in some places where the Meir says, Einon emotzi dvorov lebatala. A person doesn't just stand talk without having some meaning to what he says. So when he says Harini Nozir Minagrogris, so fine, he says Harini Nozir, Toshkide Dibur, he's saying Minagrogris, which would then disqualify his statement of Nazirus, because no such thing as a Nazirus from Grogris, but Bas Shammai holds, as they hold in a number of places in Shas, in Sheva Behekdish, there's no being Matu Neder when it comes to Hekdish. You made a Neder of Hekdish, or in this case, a Neder of Nazirus is tantamount to a Neder of Hekdish, because it includes that you're going to bring certain Korbanus at the end of Nazirus, then therefore, so in other words, if we didn't say Adam Einon Emotzi Dvorov Latala, then fine. We'd say Stam Hakna China, and he never meant to say anything serious anyway. But because we don't say that, therefore we have to pay attention to what he said. Therefore, Harini Nozer comes out to be an actual valid statement. Minat Grogerus would be trying to change his mind and trying to evade the nether and then have, if the Gemara just called it, nether of Pischa Imai, to automatic to cancel out his nether, and Bas Shammai holds you can't do that. Meanwhile, Bas Hillel would hold. The Gemara explains over there that just like Reb Shimon says, Shloi Snadim Kederach Misnadim, in our Mishnah, where Reb Shimon is saying that it's not a valid neder because there's no such thing as that kind of mincha, and therefore we just toss out everything he says. So the Gemara explains in Nozer that Bas Hillel is saying for that reason. This just then gets into a discussion. So Bas Hillel does hold that you can be that you can retract the neder of Hekdish. Why don't we explain Bas Hillel that way? And Tosfos goes on and explains various other angles on this whole matter of She'ela Behekdish or Ein She'ela Behekdish and different points in this regard of how we can understand the Shammai's and the Hillel's respective opinions. Okay. So again, according to Chizkiyah, then our mission is specifically according to Bas Shammai. Where we say Tfois Loshon Rishon, you have to go according to what he first said, and he said first Harini, and he said first Harei Alai Mincha. The fact that he says Minas Sa'odim, we can ignore that. And this little says that, it means that our Mishnah would require him to bring the Mincha only if afterwards we ask him and he clarifies he really didn't know that this is not a valid Neder, and now he wants to amend his Neder. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Amar Chizkiya. Now Chizkiya says another thing. Lo shanu ela da'ama mincha min ha-sa'odin. When would our Mishnah be talking about, and again, according to Chizkiya, so far, Chizkiya had just said that our Mishnah is going to be Shammai. We're going to see whether Chizkiya is still continuing with that way of looking at it. But anyway, Chizkiya says, our Mishnah is talking about when we say that if he said, I'll bring a mincha of barley, and we make him bring a mincha of wheat, would only be, lo shanu ela da'ama mincha min ha-sa'odin. That would only be if he mentioned barley. Barley, at least, is something that menachos are sometimes made out of. So fine, in this particular case, he can't, because it's an individual voluntary mincha, but nevertheless, there does exist such a thing as a mincha of barley. Aval om a mincha min ha-doshim, but if he said, I'm going to bring a mincha of lentils, says Chizki Eloi, then the din of our Mishnah would not apply, and he wouldn't have to bring a mincha at all, because there's no way, there's no such thing ever as a mincha of lentils. So therefore, there's nothing that you can say that he meant any kind of mincha that potentially could be valid. Well, the Gemara asks, why? Didn't Chizkiya just finish saying his statement, and he explained that our Mishnah is going to Bas Shammai? And we just said that the Shammai's reasoning is based on Tfois Loshon Rishon, so then it shouldn't make a difference. Mali min ha-sa'odin, mali min ha-doshin. So what's the difference whether he mentioned barley or lentils? Either way, once he said Harei Alai Mincha, he's obligated on Mincha. Saying min ha-sa'odin or saying min ha-doshin shouldn't change that. It's Tfois Loshon Rishon. And again, as Tosfos says, because the corresponding Gemara in Nozer talks about, because he's trying to get out of his nether, he's trying to create room to be matu neder, and Mishama says you can't do that. So then what's the difference? And the answer is Hodrabe. The answer is Chizkiya changed his mind and decided, like Rabbi Yochanan, that our Mishnah is in fact like this hill. So then, in other words, so the Mishnah is talking about where he says, if I'd known there's no such kind of mincha, then I would have made a proper neder. Well, the Gemara says, my time of Hodrabe. Well, why did Chizkiya change his mind? He should, He should say there is no difference in that regard between barley and lentils. The same way as the Shammai says that if a person says I'm a nozer from groigris, and there's no such thing as a nozer from groigris at all, and the groigris have no shaykhus to a nozer at all. The same way lentils have no shaykhus to a mincha. Rishpisfia should say by the same token, our Mishnah is like the Shammai, and it doesn't matter whether he said barley or lentils. The answer is Amar Rava Masnis and Kshisi. The answer is Rava says because Chizkiyah realized that if you learn the Mishnah that way, then there's a problem with explaining the Mishnah. My Iri, the Tony Mincha and Asorim, in that case, why would the Mishnah mention the case where he said, I'm going to bring a Mincha out of Barley? Listening in Hadashim, the Mishnah could have told us the bigger Chiddush, where he says, I'm going to bring a Mincha out of Barley. And say that even at that point of Beis Shammai, that would be a greater chiddush, even though there are menachas of barley, there are no menachas of lentils, and nevertheless, when he says minah adoshin, Beis Shammai would be mechayev him. Why didn't the Mishnah say that? So the fact that it doesn't, shma mina. Therefore, we have to understand that it's not because, of tfois lo shenishin, mishum de tori who, it must be because we're talking about that there was a conceivable mistake over here. So to say, a mincha of barley, or a mincha without oil on the vine, etc., a person could conceivably make such a mistake. He might think there do exist menachas of barley, there do exist menachas without oil on the vine, and therefore I can bring one voluntarily as well, and it turns out that not. But it has to be a plausible mistake. The Sa'urim Tori, so a person may make a mistake and think that there's a mincha of barley. Va'adoshim like Tori, nobody's going to make a mistake and think there's a mincha of lentils, because there never is a mincha of lentils. So you can't say Ilu Hayisi again. He obviously knew there's no such mincha. And nevertheless, he said it, so we can't say anymore that our Mishnah is like this Shammai. It must be that our Mishnah is like this Hillel, and like Rabbi Yochanan said that we're talking about where afterwards we ask him, what do you mean? And he says, I didn't realize that there doesn't exist such a mitzvah. Okay. So now we can distinguish between barley and lentils, where barley is a plausible mistake and lentils is not. The Gemara continues, now Rabbi Yochanan understands and learns the din differently. No, afilu min ha'adoshim, even if you were to say that I'm going to bring a mincha of lentils, then we still, the din of our Mishnah would still apply, and we tell them there's no such thing as a mincha of lentils, bring a mincha of wheat. Well, the question is, Mechti Rabbi Yochanan, come on, I'm the Shmai, take a Bishil. Well, let's go back. Rabbi Yochanan had said that our Mishnah goes according to Bishil. When we said that according to Bishil, the reason why we would be mechayev him is because the plausible mistake, like we just said. Well, then adoshim and b'sodim toy v'adoshim l'toy. So the same question: a person would make a mistake and think that there is a voluntary mincha of barley, but he would never make such a mistake as far as lentils. So why is Rabbi Yochanan saying that even if he said mincha from lentils, we would require him to bring a mincha of flour? What's going to happen? We're going to ask him, how could you make such a neder? Well, if I had known, what do you mean, Howard? If you had known, everybody knows there's no such thing as a mincha of lentils. So why is Rabbi Yochanan explaining that? And the answer is, the devotee of the Chizki from Rabbi Yochanan himself is not holding that is the din. He's saying, according to you, Chizki, according to your original logic, we should draw that distinction. He tells him, at my time, a hadras vah, why did you change your mind in the first place? You were bothered by the fact, as we just said, mishum delagatoni min ha'adoshin, because the Mishnah did not mention lentils, and you figured if it was like this Shammai, it should be a greater chiddush. But no, that shouldn't have been reason for you to change your mind. You could, in fact, say that the Mishnah is telling us a greater chiddush. So loymid duma, loymid boya, comma. Maybe the Mishnah is telling us one of those needless to say things. Loymid boya min ha'adoshin. Needless to say, if he had said, I'm going to bring a mincha out of lentils, de'iklamem mehadu de'hodrbei, and you might say that the reason he mentioned lentils is because he wants to change his mind, and Beis Shammai says that you can't tfois loshin rishin because you have to, or tfois loshin rishin, and you have to go according to the first loshin. You could say the Mishnah is telling us even barley, namis, then also the iklamem mito hu dekotoi. You could say that he's trying to change his mind. You could also say that it means that he made a mistake. Afilo hochit tfois loshin rishon. Nevertheless, Beis Shammai is still going to say that you always go according to the first loshin. So in other words, Faker, there's a bigger chiddush when he mentioned barley. Maybe in fact he genuinely made a mistake and thought that there is such a mincha. And the fact is that now up until now we've been saying that we ask him and he says, you know what, I didn't know there's such a mincha. Now that I know, then I'll bring the proper kind of mincha. I would have said that I'll bring the proper kind of mincha. But after all, it could be the other way around as well. You know what? All I have is barley. So if I can't bring a mincha of barley, then I'd rather not have made the nether at all. So maybe we would say that, fine, his neder is not chal, and therefore that would be the chiddush. I feel the hachik, tfois losh nishin. Nevertheless, we would still say tfois losh nishin, and we would still say that we go according to what he said to begin with. He said the words, harei alai mincha, and now the fact that he says, min asorim, we ignore that. So in a way, Rabbi Yochanan tells Chizkia, the fact that it mentions barley, it's not like you think saying barley implies that the Shammai would say differently when it comes to lentils. And therefore you're saying there is in fact a difference, la halacha, between whether he said barley or lentils. No, the Mishnah mentions barley because the greater chiddush that even then, according to you, Rabbi Chizkia, who held that our Mishnah is like the Shammai, then you would still, there would say there's still a greater chiddush in mentioning barley than there is lentils. The Gemara continues. Omer Ze'iri. Now Ze'iri says another point in this regard. Lo shanu ela de'omer mincha. All of this that we're talking about is with this first Lashon Rishon business is only when he says mincha. If he says mincha min asa'orim. Now harei alai mincha is a statement all by itself, an independent statement. I obligate myself to bring a mincha. So now when he said that, then and later on he says min asa'orim and min ha'adoshim, according to different opinions, then the Mishnah would be saying that doesn't cancel it out. According to Chizkiya's original opinion, that would be strictly according to Beis Shammai. According to Chizkiya's changed opinion, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, we're talking even according to Beis Shammai. But if he didn't say the word mincha, if he just said harei alai sa'orim, I obligate myself to bring barley. Then he's not chayiv in anything at all, because then he definitely meant a mincha of barley, and then there's no such mincha. Rashi's second explanation. Rashi's first explanation, which Tosfos also brings, is a different girsa. The girsa we have in front of us is versus whether he said the word mincha or he did not say the word mincha. The first explanation of Rashi and a girsa that Tosfos brings is that there's a difference between whether he said mincha or minchas. Now in Lashon Kodesh, Now in Lashon Kodesh, you have the many times you have a word which is in what's called smichus state, meaning the same way as you have, let's say, for example, mincha means all by itself a mincha. Minchas most of the time means a mincha of. So if you were to say minchas sa'orim, then you can't. If he says harei alai minchas, that statement by itself is meaningless because minchas would have to mean a mincha of something, and he didn't say what the something is. As opposed to if he said harei alai mincha, then he says min asa'orim, then harei alai mincha is an independent statement that has meaning all by itself. So Ze'iri draws that distinction. So the Gemara says Yosef Rav Nachman v'kamal l'hashmaita. Rav Nachman was sitting and telling over this statement of Ze'iri. Eisei Rav l'Rav Nachman. So Rav says though to Rav Nachman, then we have a contradiction from that. In our Mishnah, we have the continuation where it gave another example, Kemach, where if he said I'm going to bring a mincha of plain flour, Yavi soilus, then he actually has to bring fine flour. Now. Wow, Deloy Amma Mincha. Wouldn't the Mishnah mean even where he didn't say the word Mincha? He only said Harei Alai Kemach. And nevertheless, we still require him to bring solace. And again, the idea would be, like we talked about before, Einon Amotzi Dvorov Alatala. A person is not Stam saying something meaningless. So if he said Harei Alai Kemach, that means he actually is obligating himself to bring a Mincha of Kemach. We infer the word Mincha, in other words. And then that would be not like Ze'iri, where he didn't say the word Mincha, where he said Minchas. And the answer is no. Domer mincha. No, because the Mishnah just mentions kemach. So fine, the Mishnah is not repeating the word mincha. When it says, in other words, you have a thought. When the Mishnah is saying, let's look at the Mishnah again. Ha'ima harana mincha menasa'urim. You have a menachitim. And then the Mishnah continued, kemach, yavi solus. So Rava is figuring that the word kemach means he said all by itself, harei alai kemach. Rav Nachman is telling him, no, the words from the first part of the Mishnah, harei alai mincha, are meant to apply to each of the following cases. Harei alai mincha min asa'orim, harei alai mincha min akemach, and so on. Similarly, what about the Mishnah that said, b'loi shemen olavoyna, yavi shemen olavoyna? What about when the Mishnah says, without oil and levoyna, he has to bring a mincha with oil and levoyna? So my lab, b'lo on mincha, again, wouldn't that apply even where he didn't say the word mincha? He just said, harei alai b'lo shemen olavoyna. Now it's one thing. In other words, if he says harei alai kemach, you could say that, you could say fine, maybe we don't have to, so Rav had thought, maybe we don't infer the word mincha. And Rav Nachman tells him, and Rav Nachman tells us that we do. But if he says below shemen olavoyna, without oil on the vina, that would be meaningless without inserting the word mincha, and therefore, so we have to, on the face of it, we have to infer the word mincha over there, and again, not like Zeidi said. And the answer is like Dama mincha there also. It means if he said harayalai mincha without oil on the vina. We can't, if he didn't use the word mincha himself, we can't insert it on his behalf, even though, yes, that would mean that harayalai below shemen olavoyna doesn't seem to make much sense. But nevertheless, if he didn't say the word mincha, or if he said minchas, according to the other Gersa, then we can't hold him to that once he mentioned below shemen olavoyna. Tosfos says again in each of these cases, when Robert is asking in each of these cases, we're talking about where we would ask him what you meant, and he would say, wait, I didn't know this sort of thing. There's a mincha of kemach or without oil on the voinu, etc. So again, each time Rav Nachman is telling him that no, the words of the Mishnah, ha'oimer harei alai mincha, is meant to apply to each of the following cases, and not just the words harei alai, like you, Rav, are asked. Okay, the Mishnah says, how about the next case? Hatzi Yisorin. He says, I obligate myself to bring a half Yisorin, Yovi Yisorin Sholim. He has to bring a full Yisorin. Again, my lav de l'chol mincha. Wouldn't he be saying that would apply even if he didn't say the word mincha? He just said, harei alai hatzi Yisorin. And nevertheless, we still require him to bring a proper mincha on the grounds of ilu hoyisiyadeya, as we said before, that if he said, I had known that that's not a proper mincha, then I'd bring a proper mincha. And we see, therefore, that even if he doesn't say the word mincha, we still hold him to what he said. And again, Rav Nachman says, why? Da'ama mincha. In that case also, it means that he used the word mincha. Now, why is Rava asking from this one once Rav Nachman gave him the answer for the previous two? Is because now Rava is going to use that as a lead-in to his next question. If you're telling me that every time the Mishnah is saying that he actually said the word mincha, including in the case where he said a half of sorin, ema sefer, then look at the next part of the Mishnah where it continues. Isorin umetza, where he says, I obligate myself to bring an isorin and a half, yavi shnayim, and he has to bring two asroinis, because like we said, a mincha has to be made up of all asroinim. Now, you, Rav Nachman, are saying the case is that he actually said the words, harei alai mincha shel isorin umetza. So now, what happens if we said before we go according to what he says first? Kivin d'omah mincha. If he says the word mincha, he's chayev like the isorin. He becomes chayev in the isorin because as soon as he says harei alai mincha, automatically it's an isorin. Ki omah chatzi isorin. And when he afterwards adds the words chatzi isorin, loy klum ka'omahu, then what he said is meaningless, and we should ignore that. So we should ignore that. So in other words, if we say, so Tosfos explains like this, if we say that we're talking about he didn't say the word mincha, and so we would say, again, it's this ilu halisi yadea, he says, I obligate myself to bring an isorin and a half without mentioning the word mincha. Well, what do you mean by that? I didn't know there's such a thing as a mincha of on an isorin and a half. But if you tell me that he actually uses the word mincha, and if he hadn't used the word mincha, he wouldn't be chayiv in anything at all. So then, the fact that he said a half isorin should not require him to bring a whole nother isorin. He should just be yotze with the one isorin, and that's that. So doesn't that mean, says Rava, that the Mishnah cannot be talking about where he used the word mincha? And if it doesn't in that case, then it doesn't necessarily mean that he did in the previous cases as well. So even without saying the word mincha, we still hold him to what he said, and therefore not like Zeiri, who draws that distinction. And the answer is Lloyd Sutta. The answer is no, because the Mishnah only needs to tell us in the case of Omar, where he says, Harei la mincha, chatsi isorin vi isorin. Where he didn't say it, in the Mishnah we have it in the order that he says isorin and a half. But now we can say that no, the Mishnah means where he said, he first mentioned the half isorin and then another isorin. So therefore, so he said, mincha, chatsi isorin and isorin. So now let's parse out what he says. Mincha, as soon as he says the word harela mincha, automatically he's chayev to bring one isorin. When he says afterwards chatsi isorin, then he's not saying anything with that. That does not yet make him chayev in a half isorin. So far, that would only make him chayev in an isorin. Now, when he says isorin, ma'isi isorin achrina, so that requires him to bring another isorin. So not because he had said an isorin and a half, but rather because he had said a half and Nisarin. And since he had prefaced it with the word Mincha, then therefore, following what Zeiri was saying, then therefore the word Mincha alone required him to bring a Mincha, namely one Isarin, and the word Isarin afterwards requires him to bring another one. The half Isarin, we ignore. So therefore, so the Mishnah is well talking about where he said the word Mincha, whereas if he hadn't said the word Mincha, then we would say like Zeiri that he's not Chayev at all, according to the other Girsa, if he said Minchas rather than Mincha, where the word, because again, the words Havel and Minchas by itself don't have any meaning, because Minchas would mean a Mincha of, and he hasn't specified of what. Or even if he does, now he does specify afterwards, he says a Happy Sarin, but there is no such thing as a Mincha of a Happy Sarin. Well, the Gemara says Yifachi. Well, if you're going to say that that's what the Mishnah means, that every time we have to insert the word Mincha, or every time we have to insert into the wording of the Mishnah the word Mincha, meaning that he actually said each time Harel and Mincha from this, Harel and Mincha from that, then what about when the Mishnah continues? Reb Shimon Poter Shlo Isnadim Kederach Hamisnadim. If Reb Shimon is plattering him from bringing a Mincha because he didn't make a proper kind of Nidava, because there's no such thing as a Mincha of a barley. Or without oil, or Lavoina, and all the other cases, am I? Why? If you're saying that you go according to, if you're saying that he actually said the words Harei Alei Mincha, Harei Alei Mincha is a valid neder by itself. Why would Rav Shimon talk to him? The answer is Amar Rav, Rav Shimon Keshitas Rav Yosi Amar, Beshitas Rav Yosi Amar. The answer is that Rav Shimon, in that regard, is following the Shitta of Rav Yosi. The Omar, where Rabbi Yossi says, all this time we've been talking about according to the mayor, according to what was first mentioned as Shammai, but Tosfos said earlier mentioned that this is the opinion of the mayor. Einon Amotzi Dvarav Latala. A person doesn't say something meaningless, and therefore we go, and therefore we have to look at what he said to begin with. But now, and now we're going to say that no, Reb Shimon in our Mishnah follows the view of Rabbi Yossi. The Omar after the Gmar Dvarav on the Matis. Who he says that also a person also mentions and then makes the thing apply based on what he said also at the end. So in other words, not just we look at the first part, but it's not just that we look at the first part. Post loshen nishin, we do also have to look at the last part of what he's saying. So therefore, we have to look at the entire statement that he said. So when he says mincha chatzi isarin v'isarin, that what he means is a mincha of a half of 1.5 isarin altogether. And there is no such thing as a mincha of 1.5 isarin. And therefore, according to Reb Shimon, he would be pottered. Hagoras Habach actually brings in Rashi that Rav Yosi holds like Rav Shimon in that regard, but rather that Rav Shimon holds like Rav Yosi. We would just say we do have to look at the entire statement that he said, and when he says Mincha Chatzi Yisarin and Yisarin, and there is no such thing that's Shaloi Kederach Hamisnadim. Tosfos points out that again, you know, we did have on Amud Aleph. We talked about that our Mishnah might be like this Shammai, but we said that Chizkiya changed his mind and said that it's not according to this Shammai after all. And then Tosfos also goes and draws a distinction between whether he had said the Yisorin and the Chatzi Yisorin. So you would call, he says Yisorin or Chatzi Yisorin, that's not Kederach HaMisnadbin. But he says Chatzi Yisorin, the Yisorin, then it means at least an Yisorin, and therefore he ought to be Chayef for at least an Yisorin. And the answer is no. After Gmar Dvar of Adam Nitbas, that we have to look at his entire statement, even if it sounds like two separate statements, and in this case he said Chatzi Yisorin first, nevertheless we would still re-parse what he says to be saying 1.5 Yisorin, and since Reb Shimon is saying there is no such thing as a mincha of 1.5 isarin, then he'd be potter, and the same thing in all the other cases. The halacha, of course, is the halacha is like the chachamim against Reb Shimon, and the halacha, of course, is like Beis Hillel against Beis Shammai. Well, actually, usually the halacha would be like that. On the other hand, the Rambam actually, when the Rambam brings the halacha over here. And he says that actually what we need to do is we need to ask him what he meant. So we did say in the Gemara that we asked him, and if he says that, so if he says that I didn't know there's no such thing, then he has to bring a mincha. So no sekelim on the Rambam discuss how exactly the Rambam would understand that in the light of we learned on Amud Aleph, we had Rabbi Yochanan saying that after all our Mishnah seemingly is only a point of Beis Shammai.
So the Ketzet Mishnah gives an answer that when Ze'iri had said at the top of the Almud over here, the difference is whether he said Mincha or not, that Ze'iri would actually be arguing with that and saying it has nothing to do with the Shammai Basil, it has to do with whether he said the word Mincha or not, or whether he said Mincha or Minchas, or whether he said Mincha or not the word Mincha at all. And then Rambam writes that this would be the case, even with the lentils, even we said on Amud Aleph, he said that, we talked about that if he said lentils, then it would be meaningless, and we don't hold him to it at all, but the Rambam says that no, we do ask him, and if he said, even when he said, mincha of lentils, if he said, I didn't know this such a thing, then we would still make him bring a mincha of wheat.
Mishnah says, Misnadim adam mincha shol shishim isaren. A person can voluntarily bring a mincha of up to 60 isaren, or maybe be kliyachad, and he can bring that whole big mincha in one keli. And im oma arele shishim isaren, maybe be kliyachad. For that matter, if he says specifically, I'm going to bring a mincha of 60 isaren, then he can bring it in one keli. Im oma arele I samach aleph. But if he says I'm going to bring a mincha of 61 isaron or more, he cannot bring it in one keli. Maybe shishim b'kli echad ve'echad b'kli echad. Then he has to bring 60 isaron in one keli, and he has to bring the extra isaron in another keli. Why? Why can't he do 61 in one keli? Shekein matzibur, maybe the yom tovishim shachai, alias the Shabbos shishim ve'echon. Because, consider, when the tzibur brings korbanos, and they bring minchas nesachim together with their korbanos, what's the maximum amount that we ever have of minchas nesachim that's brought on one single day is the first day of Sukkot when it comes out on Shabbos. Shishim ve'echon, then we have 61. The calculation is like this. On Sukkot, we have the first day of Sukkot, we have 13 parim for the Mosef, we have 13 parim, two elim, 14 kvasim, plus we also have, because it's Shabbos, there's also two kvasim for the Mosef of Shabbos, and every day we have two kvasim for the Tami. So let's calculate. Cattle, we talked about earlier in the Masechta, the Pasuk tells us in Parshas Shlach and in various other places in the Torah, that the mincha for a par is 3 esroinim. So you have 13 parim times 3 is 39. Then you have two elim. We learned before that an ayo, a ram, has a mincha of two esroinim of flour. So two elim, two esroinim ish, is another four. So far we're up to 43. Then you have, Rashi does it the other way around. Rashi does first the kvas and then the elim, but whatever. So fine. Let's go according to Rashi's way of doing it. We have 39 for the parim. You have 14 kvasim. A keves, a lamb gets one isaron a piece. So 14 kvasim gives you 14 isaron. So far you have 39 plus 14 is 53. Then you have the two elim, another four, so 57. And you have two for the Korbanos Tamid, which are each a sheep, and two for the Musaf of Shabbos, which is two sheep. So you have 59, and then 61, so there's your 61. So, Dayel Yochid, Shopachos and Ratzibur Echad, so it's enough that the Yochid could be one less than the Tzibur. After all, Tzibur is bringing more Korbanos than the Yochid, so we shouldn't allow a Yochid to be bringing as much as the Tzibur. It should be less. Especially, you know, he brings as much as the Tzibur, it would be a bit of a lack of covet for the Tzibur that a Yochid is bringing as much as them. So if he wants to bring them, it has to be in separate kalim. Amud Rav Shimon, but Rav Shimon says that can't be the reason. Anyway, so what are you talking about? You're making it sound, says Rav Shimon to the Tanakhama. We're going to see in the Gemara, but the Tanakhama over here was Rav Yehuda. So you, Rav Yehuda, are making it sound as though when the Tzibur brings those 61 Esroinim together with the oil, that they're all mixed together in one keli. But they're not. After all, some of them are for the parim and some of them are for the kavasim. And they are not mixed together because, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, they have different consistencies. The parim and the elim have the proportion of the parim and the elim have the ratio of 1 to 2. They have the parim, for example, a three esronim of flour together with 6 logim of oil. The rams are similarly 4 and 2 respectively, whereas the kvasim is of different consistency. The kvasim are 1 isaron to 3 log of oil. So if we were to mix them together, we learned earlier in Amasekta, they would be possible because they would absorb oil from one another. So of necessity, and we even learned you have cases we talked about where they all mix together, then they're actually puzzle. So therefore, what are you telling us? That the reason a yochid can't bring a mincha of 61 asurinim in one keli is because the tzibur does. The tzibur doesn't bring that 61 asurinim in one keli either. The Rashash points out that, the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda on that. The Rabbi Yehuda holds they would be possible outright if you do that. The Chachamim disagree, but fine, you're still not Machachila supposed to mix them like that. So how are you learning from that to say that gives us the size of the Yachid? Ella, no, says Rav Shimon, I agree with the din that the maximum is, to be sure, the Tanakhama, Rabbi Yehuda, knows that point, that you don't mix them together, especially if you just said it once to Rabbi Yehuda. If you did mix them together, that would be outright possible, but still, he argues that at least, fine, you could measure out the flour in one big keli of 61, and then afterwards, when you make each individual mincha, then you'll take a certain amount of flour out of them and mix it with the oil. Whereas Rav Shimon is saying you shouldn't even do that. Again, if it's a matter of kavod hatzibur, since you're anyway not mixing them together, but fine, a yochid then by that logic should be able to bring one that's mixed together more than that, because after all, it's not like the tzibur brings them mixed together. Therefore, Rav Shimon says, I agree with the din that the maximum is 60, but there's a different reason behind it. Ella ad shishin yichonu libolo, because up to 60 asurinim, you're able to mix it properly. But more than that, not. Now what does that mean? Rashi explains that Rabbi Shimon would be following the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, which we learned earlier in our Masechta, that always a mincha has only one lug of oil. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov had said, unlike the Chachamim, who said over there that the number of lugim increases as the number of asurinim, that according to the Chachamim, you bring a mincha of two asurinim that has two lugim, three asurinim, three lugim, and so forth. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov had said that no, no matter how large the mincha, you always have only one lug of oil with it. Therefore, Rashi says that Rav Shimon is following that way of looking at it. So therefore, when you have 60 sodan of flour, there's so little oil in it that you're really not going to be able to mix it well. That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it, we could say, is even if a mincha of 60 isorim does contain 60 lug of oil, still, you would say that it's so large that you can't really mix it, that you can't really blend it very effectively. And maybe nowadays, if you put it in a cement mixer truck or something, but then not with what they had then. Anyway. So, Omer Loi, so the Chum answered back Rav Shimon, if that's the issue, why daka cap it at 60? Shishim nivlolin, shishim ve'echad ein nivlolin. You're telling me that if it was 60, you would still be able to mix it, but 61 not? That little difference is not going to make a difference. So, if that's the reason, then why cap the threshold daka at 60? That is how the midas of Chachamim are. Whenever the Chachamim tell us a figure in Torah for a certain minimum or maximum size of something, it's all that way. The Teferet Yisrael points out the word kain can also mean not just like that, it can also mean Meloshin kain, the noise slop of dovers, like they're all proper, they're all proper and exact, and there's no guzma in them. For example, bar boim saw hu toivel, a person can toivel in 40 saw of water, and no less, bar boim saw chosef karatov, if the 40 saw is lacking even a karatov, which is 1/64th of a lug, which is a tiny little fraction of even one saw, let alone 40, any yochel lipo behen, you can't toivel in it. Why? Because the Chachamim evaluated. Now, the Torah never actually spells out in so many words that you need 40 saw. The Chachamim learn it from the fact that the Torah says that a person has to toivel b'mayim in the water, and the Gemara explains it means, an amount of water that's sufficient to cover the whole body. The Chachamim figured out, we can imagine this means the Chachamim even of Moshe Rabbeinu's times already, of course, because of course, as soon as the Torah was given, they would have to evaluate and figure out such things. So they figured out it's 40 saw, and that becomes an halacha, says Rav Shimon. The fact is you can't tamper with it, even let's say you have a person who's smaller than normal, you have a person's volume is not always necessarily full 3 cubic amas, or just mutsa. Nevertheless, that's how it is. The Chachamim, once they make this rule, this is how it is, and there's no playing around with it. The same way Reb Shimon says, we have the Kabbalah, that there's a maximum of 60 isorin for minchah. You're going to say, but logically you should be able to do the same thing with 61 as with 60? No, that's not how Midas Chachamim work. So the Gemara expands on this discussion in the Mishnah and tells the background of the background of the argument and more details about it. The Gemara says Sha'ul She'ela L'mayla Rabbi Yehuda Bar Iloi. They ask this question in front of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Iloi. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Iloi is regular Rabbi Yehuda, regular Tanner, Rabbi Yehuda and Shas, and La'ela literally means above, but it means that you have a similar expression in the Gemara and Shabbos. Rashi explains over there it means in front of, which is the same way as we find, for example, about the Malachim. Surafim only mean Ma'aloi, the Surafim stand mean Ma'al of Hashem. It doesn't mean they stand above Hashem, it means they stand in front of Him. So the same way La'ela over here doesn't mean above, it means in front of. You could say, I guess, Balabatish, that the reason why that phrasing is used would be because the Rosh Hashiva would sit and then the person who was asking the question would stand. So like in a certain sense he is above the Rosh Hashiva. Anyway, so they ask this question in front of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Iloi. How do we know this that we said in the Mishnah that if a person says I'm going to bring a mincha of 61 isorin, maybe 60 b'kliyachad ve'achad b'kliyachad, they just bring them in separate kelim, 60 in one and 60 in one and one in the other. So Rabbi Yehuda Bar Iloi, the chief speaker on every occasion, began and opened the conversation and opened the discussion, opened the answer, and explained as follows. We have the Gemara and Shabbos, where you have the whole story over there. Here we're coming up to like Boimer soon with Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar being in the cave for many years. So you have the Gemara tells us in Shabbos the famous story of how that came about. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon were sitting together and talking about what the Romans are doing in Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Yehuda praised them, and Rabbi Yossi didn't say anything, and Rabbi Shimon denigrated them, and so they sentenced Rabbi Shimon to death, and therefore he had to run away. And Rabbi Yehuda, they did the Goyish government, the Romans decided to reward him to reward him with a position of honor, and they appointed him Rosh HaMadabrim Mechol Mokem. Anytime they are gathering together, he should always be the first speaker. Now, Doris of Ashurim, that's an interesting point of, at that time, based on other Gemaras and things, we can find that the Chachamim were not able to have Reb Shimon Gamliel, the Nasi, sit with them, because the Romans had gotten very suspicious of the Nasiim, and they saw them as like people would rally around them to revolt against the Romans. This is only a few years after the whole revolt of Bar Kochla. So therefore, so the Nasi, for safety's sake, wasn't able to be with them, so like this now they have, instead of having, the Nasi would usually be the first speaker, now instead they're able to appoint Reb Yehuda to that position. Anyway, so the Yehuda, being the chief speaker, starts by giving the answer. For Omar, he says, like we said in the Mishnah, the maximum number of Esroinim that we ever find the Tzibur bringing on one day is 61 Esroinim, as you made the calculation in the Mishnah between the Musaf of the first day of Sukkot and the Musaf of Shabbos and the Tzimidim, so 61. So it's enough that the Yochid should be bringing one less than the Tzibur, and therefore the maximum is 60. So Reb Shimon says, as he said in the Mishnah, V'aloi, Eilu Porim, V'Eilim, V'Eilu Kamsi. The fact is, of these Menachas, of these Minchas Nesachim, they're for different types of animals, some for Porim and Eilim, some for Kvasim. Eilu B'Lilosin Ova, V'Eilu B'Lilosin Raka. The ones for the Porim and Eilim are a thicker mixture, because you have less oil per Isarim, because you only have a ratio of two lugim of oil to each isar in a flour, ve'elu b'lilosin raka, and the ones for the kvasim, meanwhile, are a thinner consistency, because you have one isar and three lugim of oil. Also, it's not just the fact that they're different consistencies. Ve'elu b'lilosin shachos, ve'elu b'lilosin ve'na'abayim. They're mixed together at different times. The ones for the kvasim are the ones for the tomin in the morning are mixed in the morning, because you're gonna bring it right away, especially if we learned earlier in the Masechta, you have to be careful to not allow it to become chametz, so you're gonna have to make it shortly before it's to be offered. The Eibul B'lilosin Bein HaBayim. Meanwhile, you're gonna have the mincha for the Tomer Shabbein HaBayim is gonna be mixed Bein HaBayim. So they're not even all mixed at the same time. The fact is they're not mixed one with the other. So what are you bringing from that, that you have something of that that's relevant as far as for a Yochid bringing his mincha in one big kevi? Omruloi, so the other Chachamim said, or Omruloi, says Shittim Kubetz, says Omruloi, said Rabbi Yehuda, said to him, Emirata, fine, then you give us the reason. Says, because the pasuk says v'chol mincha v'lulav hashemen v'chareva, the Torah says any mincha that's mixed with oil or any mincha that's dry, meaning without oil, a mincha schoita or a mincha soita, and then the Torah says that all of them have to be shared among all the kohenim. Meaning kvar omra Torah havi mincha shi'yichol li'balo. So the Torah, in effect, is telling us make sure that you bring a mincha that's capable of being mixed. And as we said in the Mishnah, more than 60 yisarin, you're not going to be able to mix it. Omruloi, so the Chum said to him, again, Omruloi would be the other Gius, so that he, Rabbi Yehuda, says to him, what kind of an argument is that? B'shishim nivlolin, b'shishim ve'echad ein nivlolin. So why? You're telling me it would be able to be mixed if it's 60 Yisarin, but not if it's 61. Why does it have to make the threshold there? Omaloi, so Reb Shimon answers him, as you said in the Mishnah, Kol Midas Chachamim Kainhu. This is how the Midas of Chachamim are. When the Chachamim evaluate and tell us a shear that it doesn't explicitly say in the Torah, and the Chum figured out for us, then it's always exact, and it's always perfect, and there's no playing around with it. But the reason for that is very obvious. If you're going to start cutting corners, you're going to say, yeah, but maybe you don't need, so maybe 60 is sacking out the threshold. Maybe 61 would be good. And then someone else is going to come and say, well, then why cap it at 61? Maybe even 62. And soon you're going to have no limit at all. So for example, he gives the example that he gave in the Mishnah, by boim so choival, by boim so chos of how to any yochol dikbal. That person can travel only in a mikveh of full 40 saw. If it's lacking even a couch or even a tiny amount, then you can't travel in it. And here's other examples. Kabetza matama tumas oichlin. A kabetza of food is able to be matame other food with tumas oichlin. So right, we talked about yesterday and then the day before about tumas oichlin. So you need a minimum of kabetza for that, and if it's less than a kabetza, if it's missing even the size of a grain of sesame, a tiny little amount, any matame, then it's not matame other food. Whether to become tome itself, you need a kabetza, as Macholik is referring in. Rashi and the Rambam hold that any amount of food can become tame, but to transmit tumah to other food, you need a kibetza, as the Gemara is saying over here, choices, and a number of other Rishonim say that no, actually, to become tame in the first place, you need a kibetza. Maybe Drabbanan, you can have it become tame with less, but Midaraisa, at least you need a kibetza. The point the Gemara mentions elsewhere, we do learn it in Parashas Shemini, where it says Mikol Ha'oichal Asher Ye'ochal, the food that can be eaten, and the Chachamim figured out that means the size of an egg, the size of an average sized chicken egg, which could be swallowed all at once. This is one of those examples where the Torah didn't actually spell out the actual amounts, and the Chachamim had to figure it out for us. There is a different opinion, the Gvura Sari. From the Gvura Sari, a sefer of Chidushim from the Shagas Arya, points out there is a different opinion that says that we actually learn it from something more explicit in the pasuk. So according to him, this wouldn't be a good example, because according to him, the Torah actually more explicitly spells out an end. Fine. We have other examples. Another example, Shloishah Shloishah Matami Midras. When you have a piece of cloth, a minimum of 3x3 tefachim, then it can have tumas midras. If a zav sits or lies or otherwise leans his body weight on it, then it will become tummy. 3x3 is the minimum size that Chum figured is useful for sitting on. Shloishah Shloishah Chosin Nima Achas, but if it's missing even one thread, ain't a matami midras, then it's not matami midras. So you see, says Reb Shimon, that midras Chum are like that. And you don't say, yeah, but if it's this, then it should be similar enough when it's close to that. No, we don't say that. There's no close enough. It's exact, but not any less. Okay. So the Gemara asks, in Nivlolin, my half. Well, so what's Reb Shimon's premise? Is that a mincha of 60 yisarin cannot properly be mixed with the oil? So what? What's the problem? Vatnan, we learned earlier in our Masechta, imleg bolal kosher, that if you didn't mix the mincha, nevertheless it's kosher. The mixing of it, it's not ma'akiv, because we have the general rule that you have to have shona alav akos of la'akiv. In order for something to be ma'akiv, it has to be repeated in the Torah. If not repeated in the Torah, then you have to mix it. So therefore, so it should be, so it is kosher. Now, Tosfos mentions over here, Tosfos refers over here to an explanation of there's Uliu in the Masechta. Of course, there is a mitzvah to mix it. So you could argue that maybe that's reason alone to say that therefore he has to bring a mincha that should be able to be mixed. Fine, it's not ma'akev, but nevertheless, we see that the Torah does prefer that you mix it. But the answer is, on the other hand, you could argue, maybe Fakirto, the guy wants to bring a mincha of 61 Isarin. And after all, preferably, so we had, for example, we learned that if a person says that we learned yesterday that if a person says I'm going to bring a mincha in one keli, and he brings it in two kelim, it might be possible, in many cases it'll be possible, then we should say Fakirto. If he says I want to bring a mincha of 61 Isarin, maybe we should make it possible for him to bring it in one keli, rather than split it among to Kalim, and if that means that we can't mix it, then so what? So that would be the question. But the answer is Amar Rav Zeira. So Rav Zeira says a very famous rule, which we have in a dozen places in Shas. Kol Roy LeBila Ein Bila Ma'akevus Loy. Whenever you have something which is capable of being mixed, then we don't care. Even if you didn't do the bila, you didn't mix it, then it's not ma'akev and it is kosher. So if you brought a mincha of 60 Yisarin, or 59, or whatever, and you didn't mix it with the oil, fine, it'll still be kosher. V'chosha ain't a roi l'bila, but if it's not capable of being mixed because it's too large, bila ma'akevistoy, then the fact that you didn't mix it is ma'akev. And therefore, so we need to have a mincha that is capable of being mixed. And then if we didn't do it, then it doesn't matter. This principle is used in many, many places throughout Shas. For example, you have one example of it. It comes up in the dinim of chalitza. The din is of chalitza. You have three main components of chalitza. You have the actual taking off of the shoe. You have spitting on the yavama spits on the ground in front of the yavam. And there are certain things that the yavam and the yavama say. He says, "I don't want to marry her." She says, "Kach yasa le'ish," etc. So now the Gemara discusses over there what happens if one or the other of them is mute and unable to speak. So then we say they can't do chalitza. The question is, why not? The fact is, if you didn't do the speaking, then it's still a perfectly kosher chalitza. And again, we have the example because it's ainu roi labila. If they're capable of speaking, but they didn't, then fine, it's still a valid chalitza. But if they're not even capable of speaking, then we would say, it has to be not the actual speaking, but the ability to speak. The same way as we're saying over here, the ability to mix it. There was some interesting discussion about the applicability of it to some halachas that we have nowadays. It was some which are even d'rabbanan. Here's an interesting one. For example, a person is in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. The chazan starts chazaras hashatz and gets to kedusha. So the Bahag and Rashi say that then in that case what you should do is be quiet and listen to the Kedusha, and you'll be Yotze because Shemeya Ka'ina, hearing it is considered like answering it to it, and therefore you're Yotze. But the question is, Tosfos brings up a point, why, based on our rule of Kol Haroi Labila, you should say he's not capable of speaking because it's in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, and therefore it shouldn't be considered as though he did. So maybe in fact we see that this concept of kol roi labila maybe doesn't apply to things d'rabbanan like that. And then there's a Tosfos elsewhere who says that that brings a point on it and says that no, it has nothing to do. There's a different reason. You could actually fulfill just by listening, because Shemaya Ka'ina, it's not even a matter of that you could say it, but maybe Tosfos talks about that actually you shouldn't, because then it's going to make it look as though, well, then it makes it look like you're talking, doing Shemoneh Esrei, so nothing to do with really Kol Haroi Labila. Another example it comes up with is as far as Havdalah on Tisha B'Av, Havdalah on Motzei Tisha B'Av, when Tisha B'Av comes out on Sunday, whether it came out on Sunday like last year, or whether it's Nidcha to Sunday. So we don't make Havdalah Motzei Shabbos, we make it Sunday night. The question is, should you? Again, maybe it's in Kol Haroi Labila, you couldn't have made Havdalah Motzei Shabbos, maybe therefore you shouldn't make it Sunday night. Maybe a regular week where you could have made it Motzei Shabbos, and for whatever reason you missed it, you can do it Motzei Shabbos, but maybe you can do it on Sunday night, but maybe not in this case. Maybe it's also the fact is in both cases we do say, you do it. You do be quiet and listen to the chazan saying kedusha, and you do make Havdalah Motzei Tisha B'Av. So therefore, we see apparently that the rule of Kol Haroi Labila does not apply to things that are banan, which both of Havdalah and kedusha are both things that are banan, and therefore it wouldn't apply. So this rule applies only to things that are Isa, for example, chalitza, and for example, a variety of other cases that the Gemara brings here and there throughout Shas. Okay.